So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6. Lord instructs his demoniac schoolmates. Text number 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Viteshu Nitya Binibhishta Cheta Vidvamsh Cha Dosham Paravita Hartu Pratyeha Patapi Ajitendriyash Tad Ashanta Kamo Harate Kutumbi Riteshu Nitya Binavista Cheta Vidvams Chado Shamparavita Hartu Pratiha Patapi Achindriyastad Ashanta Kamo Karati Kutumbi Vriteshu Nitya Binavishti Cheta Vidvams Chado Shamparavita Hartu Pratyeha Vatapi Achitendriyastad Ashanta Kamo Harati Kutumbi Viteshu Nitya Binivishta Chita Vidvams Chadosham Paravita Hartu Pratyeha Vatapi Achitendriyastad Ashanta Kamo Harati Kutumbi Viteshu Nitya Binivishta Cheta Vidvam Chadosham Paravita Hartu Pratyeha Achitendriyastad Ashanta Kamo Harati Kutumbi Riteshu Nitya Binivista Cheta Vidvam Chadosham Paravita Hartu Pratyeha Vatapi Achitendriyastad Ashanta Kamo Harati Kutumbi. Matajis. Viteshu Nitya Binivista Cheta Vitpam Shatosham Paravithatu Pratyeha Vatapi Achitendriyasad Ashanta Kamo Harati Kutumbi Viteshu Nitya Binivishta Cheta Vidvam Chadosham Paravita Hartu Pratyeha Vatapi Achitendriyastad Ashanta Kamo Harati Kutumbi Viteshu Nitya Binivishta Cheta Vitvam Shadusham Paravitahartu. Ashantakamo Karati Kutumbi. Viteshu. In material wealth. Nitya abhi vinishta chetaha, whose mind is always absorbed. Vidvan, having learned. Cha, also. Dosham, the fault. Paravita hartu, of one who steals money of others by cheating, or transactions on the black market. Pratya, after dying. Iha, in this material world. Va, or. Atapi, still. Ajita Endriya, because of being unable to control the senses. Tat, that. Ashantakama, whose desires are unsatiated. Harate, steals. Kutumbi, too fond of his family. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace of Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. If a person too attached to the duties of family maintenance is unable to control his senses, the core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money. Although he knows that one who takes the wealth of others will be punished by the laws of the government and the laws of Yamaraj after death, he continues cheating others to acquire money. Please repeat. If persons too attached to the duties of family maintenance is unable to control his senses, the core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money. Although he knows that one who takes the wealth of others will be punished by the law of the government and by the laws of Yamaraj after death, he continues cheating others to acquire money. Purport. Especially in these days, people do not believe in the next life or in the court of Yamaraj. The various punishments and the various punishments of the sinful. But at least one should know that one who cheats others to acquire money will be punished by the laws of the government. Nonetheless, people do not care about the laws of this life or those governing the next, despite whatever knowledge one has. One cannot stop his sinful activities if he is unable to control his senses. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakaya Takshuram Nanitinita Smash. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. So, therefore, human life begins at Varnashram. Chaturvarnam Mayastrisham Gunakama Vivarasha. One who follows this order of Krishna, it's Krishna's order. So it works. Krishna has ordained this. Oh, even though it's common nowadays to hear that it's an old-fashioned system by an ashram, it doesn't work anymore. But everywhere you go in the world, you'll see there are Kshatriyas, there are Sudras, there are Vaishyas, there are all these classes, there are intellectuals, there are businessmen. They're still existing everywhere. Simply saying they don't exist anymore is foolish. So, Vanashram begins at, a human life begins at the Vanashram. Outside of that, Malecha, Yavana, considered subhuman, because generally they don't follow any principles for freedom. So therefore, from the very beginning of life, as Prahlad Maharaj is showing here, from 5 years old even, that once you get education in the Gurukul, and then he can understand what is the purpose of life, then he can mold his life, if he desires, to go back home, back to Godhead, or otherwise he can stay in the material world and following the principles of Dharma. But at least he has a choice. Nowadays we don't have a choice, only sense gratification, that's the education. And the goal is sense gratification. But there is no university in the world that's teaching the science of Krishna consciousness. But they're very happy to teach all the other sciences which keep one bound in this material world, which keep one in the cycle of birth and death. So, without having sense control here, Prabhupada says, then you cannot stop your sinful activities. People don't even know what a sinful activity is practically today because they're so indoctrinated that the goal of life is material happiness, sense gratification, which is practically all sinful, simple activity. That's the only option we got. We don't have another option. So this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness main purpose, to give an option, to let people know there is another option. It's not that you just got to go through life and living and dying and take birth again. So Krishna consciousness is giving this option. We're teaching there is an alternative. Positive alternative. Prabhupada had a flyer made in the early 70s. Krishna consciousness, the positive alternative. Yeah, because at that time, late 60s, and people wanted an alternative living. That's why everybody was leaving home at that time, going living in communes and things like that. They weren't satisfied with the regular way of life, what their future was, what they're supposed to do in the future. It all seemed futile to them, living and dying. So they started to... They wanted some alternative, so they left the mainstream society and started living in communes and things like that. But nobody really knew what to do anyway there, because nobody had the real goal of life that nobody understood. The renunciation part of it was good, you leave home, but the knowledge aspect wasn't there. We want yukta vanarayaga, knowledge and renunciation. So renunciation was there, everybody was leaving home, but the knowledge wasn't fully there. We were aspiring. Then Prabhupada came along. He gave us perfect knowledge and detachment. Teach us how to become really detached by becoming attached to Krishna. Prabhupada was giving us an alternative. It was called the positive alternative. Something very positive. What is that positiveness? Back to home, back to Godhead. The eternal pastimes are going on there with Krishna. So that's where we belong. So that's something very positive. Liberation, that's the, you get the Dharma to Karma Moksha, liberation is the greatest thing, but in liberation still there's nothing really positive there except being, just state of being. Okay, it's a positive state of being, but Prabhupada told us bhakti, how bhakti exists, it is not just this being, it's exchange of love. Krishna is exchanging love with his devotees. This is the ultimate goal of life. This is what the living entities are searching for. So Prabhupada gave us this positive alternative. Krishna consciousness. So that's the business of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We cannot force anyone, Prabhupada said. Cannot force anyone to become Krishna consciousness, but at least give them an opportunity, give them an option of what they put. So, Krishna's created this Varnashram system. Along with the universe, Krishna creates the universe because we can't create a universe. And he creates it because we want to enjoy, because we can't enjoy independently of Krishna. So Krishna gives us a body so we can enjoy it. And Krishna gives us forgetfulness of him. So Krishna gives everything. And here is the system how to live. If you want to live in this material world and get maximum happiness, here is how to do it. Then Krishna gives all of his Vedic injunctions. So when the universe is created, you get the manual with it. Just like you buy a car or a cell phone or something. You'll get a user's manual, how to use this machine. So similarly with the Vedas, it's a user's manual, how to live in this material universe and get maximum happiness. Krishna knows better than anyone else. The idea is that the living entities want to stay in this material world, so Krishna gives them... at least you strive for the mode of goodness, you worship the devatas, you'll go up next life, you go up in Devaloka, you'll enjoy. That's what you want, okay, so go to Devaloka. And that's what most people want. People just don't come to the material world to go back to Godhead. They come here to imitate Krishna, being the enjoyers. So Krishna gives everyone, he satisfies everyone. Okay, if you're fed up with mukti, then... fed up with material sense creator, here is mukti, the great mukti the Upanishads are singing of. Krishna says you can go, you can become one with the Lord. Devotees say, why become one with the Lord? Why not become greater than the Lord? Your mother Yasoda is saying, Krishna, bring my shoes, bring this. Yes, mummy. They're ordering Krishna around. They're greater than... Why become one with Krishna? Why not become greater? So in bhakti, we can become greater than... So anyway, the whole system Krishna's established, the Varnashram system, it's actually a built-in sense control process. That's what the Varnashram is. By following these processes, you're in the mood of enjoyment. Anyway, follow it like this, and gradually you'll become purified. As you go through the different stages of life, you'll become more and more purified. So it's a built-in system. Nobody is really doing it for purification. They're doing it according to their guna and karma. They're acting in it. But Krishna's so clever. Within this system, simply by following it without even aspiring for it, you're becoming purified. From tamaguna to rajaguna to shataguna, from grihastha vanaprastha sannyas. These are all methods of purification. And then hopefully by good fortune, if someone meets a devotee, then at least he'll be situated in the mode of goodness. It'll be easier for him to accept the message of bhakti. Bhakti is not dependent on the mode of goodness, of course. But if someone's in the mode of goodness, when the mercy of a devotee is coming around, one should be at least pure enough to be able to accept his message. So, but unfortunately, people are not getting this education. Therefore, there's no question of retirement. Or here, the man, he said he's working. He has to work so hard. There's no question of getting out of it. Here he is, he has uncontrolled senses, and because he's too attached to the duties of family maintenance, he's unable to control his senses. So this is what's going on. Everyone is attached to the duties. I think I must do my duties to maintain my family and society, and they're immersed in that right up to the end. And it says here, because he's unable to control his senses, the core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money. So this is in the very core of everyone's heart. He's thinking, I have to maintain family and things like that, position in society. But that all takes money. How can I maintain the family, be maintained and etc. without me? I'm maintaining everything. So therefore he has fear that what's going to happen without me? Who's going to maintain the family members? So therefore I should get a stock of money. If I have a stock of money, then my family members can live. Anyway, the idea behind it, the conceptions behind it, is that I'm the controller. I'm going to control my family members, etc. I'm Krishna. I'm taking Krishna's position. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda, he's the supreme controller. So we're trying to take that position, and I think it's all dependent on me. What's going to happen without me? So if I get a stock of money, then maybe they can go on a little bit without me. So how to get that money? Now he's got to steal and cheat, tell lies, anything he'll do to get that money. So so he thinks this is his final goal, is he somehow or another to get that money, no matter what it takes. That my family can be maintained without me. Krishna's maintaining millions of elephants. They eat tons of grass, leaves every day. And he's eating some sugar. Krishna's maintaining everyone, all living in. But the foolish human thinks that I have to maintain my family. Without me, what will happen? So, especially in these days, people do not believe in the next life or in the court of Yamaraj and the various punishments of the sinful. So this is a fact. They do not believe in this life. Prabhupada used to give the example of one Professor Potofsky, if I got it right, from Russia. Professor Potofsky. And the Prabhupada, he went to Russia for preaching. He was introduced to this professor. And so he was learned. He knew also a little bit about the Shastra, about Veda a little bit. He even had a little bit on Varnashram. He knew a little bit. And not very well, but Prabhupada tried to educate him a bit more. Um, And he's, yeah, he said, by birth you become a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And Prabhupada said, no, I'm very polite with him. No, I beg your pardon, I beg to differ, I beg your pardon, sir, but you have to be nice to these people. And, I beg your pardon. He was very polite. But he doesn't say by birth, the Vedas say. He said, no, no, but it says in Puranas that it's by birth one becomes Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya. No, no, guna kama. It's guna kama. Chatuvanamaisucham. Guna kama. By quality of work, it's not dependent on birth. So, but anyway, he knew a little bit about the Shastra, but of course he didn't accept it. And Prabhupada was preaching, and then Professor Potofsky said, Swamiji, at the time of death, everything is finished. And Prabhupada always used to quote that. He said, big professor. And he's saying, after death, everything is finished. So that's the situation today. They may profess atheism. You have a choice in your life. You can do as you may profess atheism. But that doesn't exempt you from the law of karma. I'm an atheist. I choose to be an atheist. You may choose what you like, but it doesn't exempt you from the laws of karma. You still got to suffer the laws of karma, whether you believe there's a God or not a God. Prabhupada said the Indians, because they had culture, they brought up. But some profess atheism, they become atheists, despite their training and education in early life and the understanding of God consciousness. Prabhupada said, at the time of death, the Indians, they are shaking in their boots. They are shivering in their boots because they know what's going to come next. Somehow or another, they become influenced by atheism, became atheists by choice. But in the back of their mind, they understand what they've been taught when they were children, the Ramayana and Mahabharata. So they believe in God, it's there, the God consciousness. So at the time of death, oh, now I didn't believe, now I've got to face up. And they have to. They actually see the fierce face of Yamaraj and the Yamadutas and the ferocious animals that come to bite him up, etc. So, believe or not believe, you've got to still go down the hellish planets. And suffer a lot. So there is a law here governing everything, the law of karma. There was a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam of a hunter. That was his profession, he was killing. So Narad Muni met him and said, that's a very sinful activity. Why you don't give it up? He said, I've been trained. My father was a hunter, I'm a hunter. It's my livelihood. Narada Muni said, don't worry about your livelihood. If you give up your hunting thing, make sure you get your livelihood. But he said, and anyway, you're killing these animals simply to maintain your family. But are your family prepared to take the responsibility of the karma also? All these animals are going to come back and kill you in your next life. So your family members are going to share the karma? So I don't know. I don't ask them. So he went to his wife and he said, you're going to share the karma? I'm killing all these animals for you and the children. You're all going to share the karma with me? They said, no way we're going to share karma. It's your karma. You're killing. We're not going to share it. So Narada Muni said, see, it's all your karma. You've got to bear everything. Even your family members don't want to join it, share in your karma. So, see, the law is there. And the punishment is there. It says in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you stealing something, if you steal gold or gems from a Brahmana, anyone, especially a Brahmana, then you have to go to hell. You have to see the hell. There's a hell where people go when they steal things. It's called Sandamsa, the hell, and there, for the punishment, you get the friends of Yamaraj, who really are really nasty people. They really, really like to hurt people. So they get the karma, that karma, you know, they were cheated in their last life or frustrated. I think like those Yamadutas, is it? The children didn't do the pinda for their father. The father died and the son has to do the pinda. And that'll, you know, put him in Pitraloka. It gets him out of a dangerous situation because by worshipping the forefathers like that. But the sons, they don't do it. They neglect, they forget, they don't want to do it. They don't do it. So then the forefather, he's left, he has some kind of ghostly body or something like that in the hellish planets. So he's really, really angry. He's really, really angry because they didn't do their duty and now I'm in this. So he gets the body of one of the Yamadutas or one of the assistants of Yamaraj. They're really nasty. They were frustrated in this life. They were hurt. So they just want to give pain to others. So they really enjoy their service. So they have these tongs, you know, metal tong, and they make them red hot in the fire. Then they pinch your skin and they jerk it. They jerk, rip your skin off your body, off your arms and the skin, off your chest, off your face. They really like that. Of course, if you're in that position, you don't like it. But they like it. But that's what you've got to go through, simply by stealing something. Whether you believe or not, you have to go to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj gives you equal punishment. No, you did this, this is a reaction. So there's thousands of these different hells for all the different sinful activities. Who was that? King Paranjan, was it? The long story, allegorical story. He was really trying to be a nice person, you know. He was really trying to look after his family and kids. And everything. He ultimately had to go and see hell for a little while. And all he was doing, he was just a bit attached to his family members. And he really, really wanted to serve them nicely. But because he was attached, there was a hell for you also for a little while. Who can live in this world and not be attached, especially to your family members? Who can do that? And you go to see hell for that, simply because you're a bit attached. They like to hear the gruesome stuff. Get a bit closer. So, but if the world would accept this law of karma, if the whole world would accept it, they would really become more serious about what they do in life, what activities they perform. If they really understood this law of karma, they would not be, definitely they wouldn't be so sinful if they knew the reactions. Prabhupada was giving a lecture once, and the title was East and West. They said, Swamiji, can you speak on East and West? Prabhupada said, as far as I am concerned, I don't see difference East and West. we're all servants of Krishna. We all should all engage in servants of Krishna. But because you want to know East and West, he said the difference between East and West is that in East, a man is living in a jute stick house. A jute stick house made of very cheap. You can make very quickly with mud and some sticks. But he knows I'm living in this position because of my previous karma, because of my previous activities. Now I have this situation. So this is the standard I have to live at because this is my karma. Another man is living in a palace. And he's thinking, I'm living here because of my previous karma. I did a lot of good activities, pious activities. I got a big palace and so much opulence because of my previous karma. And in the West, they don't have this conception. So he said, this is knowledge. This is the difference between East and West. The Eastern people have knowledge because they're aware of the law of karma, that my present activity will determine my next body. So they're very, very careful because I obviously want a better body. So I'm very careful about my activities, that I don't become, as Prabhupada says all the time, you don't become degraded to cat and dog, cats and dogs' bodies. But unfortunately in the Western countries, this law of karma is not accepted. It would make a drastic change, and also the religions are a little bit scary because some of the major religions, like Christianity, they don't believe in this law of karma, so it'd be a blow to their religion. So they always try to cover up. You speak about law of karma, then they will, somehow or another, they will. It's coming from a pagan philosophy, where Indians, they worship idols. And of course, it's becoming much more common now since Prabhupada's, due to Prabhupada's influence on the planet, he's making people aware to the fact of these subtle laws of the world, of the laws of karma, rebirth, transmigration of the soul. Due to Prabhupada's influence, and it's becoming much more well known now, all these vegetarianism, because they know it's going to do harm in the future. There's a reaction by killing animals, eating animals. So there's a big swing now in the world due to Prabhupada's being here, and different groups, and but at least they're aspiring for some higher ideals in the modes of nature. There was one football, I think he was a coach or a trainer or the, what do they call, a football team manager, who manages the team, I don't know what they're called. Anyway, he's a big personality. Footballers are big personalities in England, at least. So he was the trainer or the boss. He was the boss, say. So his opinion was heard. He could speak in public, and his opinion was respected because he was in this big, famous position. And then there was something about something accident or something like that. And he said, no, he said, this is simply a reaction due to the law of karma of this person. This is why this person is suffering, because of a reaction from previously is suffering. Oh, they went wild, the people. What is this? What is this? So cruel, you know, the poor innocent person got something happened to him, and now you're saying it's their own fault, because what kind of law is this that you've got to suffer? And then they, oh, everyone was, he lost his job just simply because he said, it's a person's karma. And because he was such a big figure and he may influence too many people, they kicked him out of his job. Just believing in karma as being the truth. So anyway, it's a perfect law. It's made by Krishna. Actually, the karmic law is, it's Newton's third law, isn't it, in fact? Sir Isaac Newton, the scientist, his third law, for every action there is an opposite reaction. This is karma. I don't know why they couldn't have, the friends of the footballer, they could have, preach, no, he's preaching Isaac, Sir Isaac Newton's third law. For every action there is an opposite reaction. So that's the way it's managed by Krishna. It's we're really, really bound up by these laws of karma, and it's Krishna's laws. Devi Heshiguna Mai Mama Maya. Krishna says it's my Maya, therefore it's very difficult to get out. You can't get out unless you surrender to me. How many people are surrendering to Krishna? So that means nobody's getting out. But if you surrender to me, Krishna says you can easily get out. Otherwise, not easy. Very difficult. And every time going to see the hellish planets for your bad activity, then you can go to the heavenly planets a little bit and come back again. So there is no solution to the problems of this material world. There is absolutely no material solution. I don't know. Only Krishna consciousness is the only solution. So therefore we should be aware of this situation and take to this process of surrendering to Krishna. If we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will take care of everything. Otherwise, how you can, every moment you're treading on an ant, you're so bound up in this, every breath you're breathing in microbes, you've got to repay their life. You took life, you have to repay. Just simply by this one act of surrendering to Krishna, you can jump over all of these sinful activities and all the pious activity. This is the glory of Navadvip Dham also. Visiting the Dham, by performing service in the Dham, one becomes, all the one's bad karma is finished. And not only that, all of one's good karma is finished. So you don't get no good karma, no bad karma. Prabhupada said, we're not interested in punya, we're not interested in pap. No punya, no pap, only Radha Krishna. This is our position. Yeah, so Navadvip Dham, you lose all of your punya, you lose all of your pap. So that's a good thing. We want to get rid of everything. Otherwise, it keeps us bound in this material world, even the mode of goodness. So Krishna consciousness is the only science that can actually give us relief in this material world. So this is what Prahlad is teaching to his school friends, who otherwise would be training up to become demons. They're demoniac fathers, mothers and fathers they have. They're just going to be trained up in the same way of demoniac mentality, that we're trying to imitate Krishna. This is the original sin. We're envious of Krishna. So the only way to get rid of that sin is by surrendering to Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nithai Go Premanandi. Hari Go. Any question or comment?
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. About karma, so if parents is atheist and they do bad thing, and their bad karma will, the children have to share their karma, or can you tell me about sharing karma?
Sharing karma.
Yeah, like a collective karma, or within family or family relatives.
Sharing karma.
Sharing karma or yeah. karma is only for individual?
No, karma is, you can share it. See, the husband, he performs many pious activities. The wife gets that equal amount that he gets. She gets it. Whatever he gets, she gets equally. And she doesn't do anything. She's just a wife. She's there. He performs all kinds of sinful activities. He gets a result. She doesn't get any result whatsoever. Nice position for Mataji. You don't get the good karma, you don't get the bad karma. You get the good karma, you don't get the bad karma. Wife gets half of every equal to the husband, but she doesn't share with his bhakti. The bhakti he performs, that's his bhakti. The bhakti you perform, that's your bhakti. That's between you and Krishna. That's not shared. But the punya and pap, that is shared.
What about children?
Children
will inherit their karma or?
After 5-7 years old, is it something like that? Up to that time, they're exempt more or less from, like a codicil, they can take grains. After 7, if the parents feed them grains, then the parents get half the karma also. The child gets karma, but the parents, because they're feeding him grains, they get half the bad karma. Or eating grains on a codicil. So you can share. Sometimes you can share karma. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for your class. You were talking about frogs, like the big professors, like Prabhupada called them frogs. And I remember that last year, Sri Ram Maharaj and Guru Maharaj, they were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there was a frog, and the frog was listening. So I'm just wondering, if professors are listening to Krishna Katha, means their frogish mentality is getting purified one way or another. Because Prabhupada was saying that frogs, they're living in their well, and they think that they don't know the size of the ocean, and because they're measuring it by their well, and because the ocean is very big, and they're counting like how much big is it? Is it like 2 my wells, or is it like 3 wells? They're like, they're big. No, it's like 4 wells, or like 10. Is it zillion billion wells? No, it's like very big, like ocean. So maybe. Like frogs, they listen and they get purified, right? Like some, they will like the evolution, like they will evolve into like human beings someday.
Yeah, they definitely get benefit. The frogs. Haridas Thakur said even the cockroaches in the wall, when they hear the sound vibration, also they'll make benefit. They'll get liberated. Yeah, the sound vibration is very powerful. It'll act. The spiritual sound vibration will act. It's not lost. Prabhupada often, we used to give the example, he was giving a lecture here in the temple, and the same way of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he said there's many in English, mostly he was speaking English. But there were other, some pilgrims were coming, and he said, so they're coming and the children are there. They can't understand what's going on. He said, but because they're in the sound vibration, they can hear the sound vibration, that will have effect. Even they cannot understand the language, or anything. Just being in that sound vibration will have a purifying effect.
Hare Krishna.
This is the value of one moment's association with the devotee. You know that story.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Guruji, for nice class. According to the first questions answer, you said about that the bhakti is up to me and Krishna. Bhakti, when we are doing, so it's up to me and Krishna.
Mm.
So it's a little bit, I'm not able to understand that when we are doing bhakti, so it is said that 14th generation will get liberation. So how it is? The 14th generation will get liberation. If I do bhakti or if I become devotee, so the 14th generation will get liberation. So how the bhakti acts in that case?
If you become a pure devotee, then 7 generations or 20 something generations up and down get liberation. Yeah? Yeah, it means the path is opened for them. The path of liberation is open for those people. How long they want to stay on that path, that's up to the individual. But the path is open, so they get liberation. Some may take many lifetimes for them. But then they have to make the choice. It's their bhakti. They make the choice. It was your choice. You made the choice. Nobody else can make the choice except you. So you make a choice. They make a choice for... The path is open, they make the choice how far they want to go, how fast they want to go. But they're making the choice all the time.
When I am becoming devotee, so does it affect to them in their devotional service? Does it affect in their devotional service? Because I have become devotee, so they are getting chance, path of liberation is open for them also and for others also. So there is no difference. But I am a little bit confused in that when you are becoming devotee, so 14th generation is going to get liberation. So it's like little extra concession for them, or it's the same like others, outsiders.
Can you make it one sentence?
When I am becoming devotee, so
yes.
Does it like some concession for them, like my relatives or like 14th generation, or it is like the outsiders, the same? As you explained, the path of liberation is open for all.
Common people.
I'm doing common people, not getting any. My relative will get in similar way or different way.
Relatives will get. Everyone will get when you become a devotee and you chant and they hear and you associate. Everyone will get. Just by a moment's association with devotee. they will get an opportunity, but they have to make the choice to accept that opportunity. But the opportunity is going to start being presented. The reason you're here now is because in previous birth you had association with devotee, otherwise you wouldn't be here. That was the cause of your being here. And the cause of your advancement now is that you accept the whole process of Krishna consciousness.
So What are the energy of Krishna? Can you explain something about the energy of Krishna?
The energy of Krishna? Well, you're the energy of Krishna.
There are three types of energy. Internal energy, external energy, and marginal energy. These are the three energy of Krishna, I think, so that. Can you explain something about this? What are the internal energy, what are the external energy, and what is the marginal energy?
What is?
Energy of Krishna. Can you explain something about the energy of Krishna? That is, I know that internal energy, external energy, and marginal energy. Marginal energy, you are the soul, you are the living entity, you are the marginal energy, and I don't know the internal energy and external energy. Can you explain something about that?
Can you explain something about the different energies of Krishna? Yes, he has unlimited energies. Prasya Shaktir Vividaiva, he has unlimited potencies. Basically, they're categorized in three. Prabhupada explains in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. The marginal energy is the living entity. We get the material energy, what we call the material world, and we get the spiritual energy. Everything is coming from the spiritual energy, the material world, the marginal potency. But this is called inferior. This is actually spiritual. Everything is spiritual because it's coming from a spiritual source. But it's called inferior spiritual energy or material energy. So now you have a choice, and the limitation of your choice is that I can choose to accept the internal energy or I can choose to accept the external energy. Every moment, Maya is presenting different objects before your senses at every moment. And now you have a choice at every moment. You're the marginal energy, so you can choose. I can choose to accept it or I can choose to reject it. But you're marginal. But you have a choice. But that's the limit of your choice. You can accept Krishna consciousness or you can accept Maya. That choice you can, only choice you can make. But then it's diverse, the energies are unlimited. All the different potencies and different incarnations of Godhead displaying different potencies, it's unlimited. But more or less we're more concerned with ourselves, our relationship with the world and our relationship with Krishna. Understanding this, and then what am I going to do about it to get out of it and go back to Godhead? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Can I ask? Karma sharing, we discussed that husband's punya, wife gets equal. Husband's bhakti, wife doesn't get.
Can you come here? I can't hear him. I should bring my hearing aid. I got an hearing aid. I don't know. Sorry. Talking about karma sharing. Okay. The punya, the husband, the wife gets the same punya as the husband. No, the wife doesn't get his bhakti. No. Yeah. It was her bhakti. She's serving you. So that was her bhakti. She didn't take it. She didn't take anything from you. It was her bhakti to serve you.
So why did husband's a good devotee?
If the husband's a good devotee. So the wives should train up their husbands to become very good devotees.
punya, husband does not get?
Wife's punya? Husband, I didn't hear that much. I don't know if it hasn't gone. But generally, yeah, they do the activities together, the pious activities, the husband and wife, they do the... So generally the man is the main person, so he gets all the puna, she gets... just by sitting. Okay, anything else? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Did I say I was going to see you today or tomorrow?